Today we're talking about the fact that our life and our faith are backed by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit calls us into greater devotion to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that devotion is about getting on the move, not just sitting. I'll say this, not just pouting about all that's going on, and there's plenty to pout about. But God is always doing something, and many times he does his greatest resurrection work in the dead places in our life. He wants us to move forward. He has something for us to do. He has a path for us to walk on. And so it really is our choice on whether we want to kind of stay where we are because we're bummed out about how everything is going, or we could see this as an opportunity to move forward, an opportunity to get moving. And moving is all about wanting to learn more and to experience more. Learn more about God's word, know more about our faith, experience more of our faith, how God is moving in us and through us. We have to be on the move to maximize the opportunity we have in what God is calling us to do and to be a part of what God is calling us to be a part of. That's where our scripture passage comes in very well this morning. Notice the first word, anyone. Anyone, everyone. The gospel is the truth, and it becomes our personal truth by our engagement in it. It's not just for a select few. No, it's for everyone. It's for anyone. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. This is really a portion of Psalm 46, verse 4. Now we get a little author, John, the author, is giving us a little note. Now when Jesus said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit, who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. Here, the Bible makes it very clear that being in relationship with Jesus is not about religion, it's about relationship. Notice what our scriptures say. It doesn't talk about amassing an understanding of a particular body of work. No, it's, yes, we want to know about our faith, but it is here made very clear that it's about our personal engagement, our personal encounter with Jesus. And so it's not about a religion. It's not about memorizing certain verses and understanding how the Christian faith has moved through history, although those are very important things. The bottom line is, are we experiencing a living reality of God within us? Is it like a living water that continues to replenish us? Jesus is present. When Jesus leaves, he said he'll send the counselor. I'm God present with you right now, and when I leave, your presence, my presence will be felt. God's presence will be experienced through the Holy Spirit. Now, we are a church that believes in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we often say that the Father is the Creator, the Son is the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit is the Sustainer. Yet those titles can actually be seen in Scripture by the other persons of the Godhead. Now, my example, I was a youth pastor for a long time. This one, I think, works pretty well. How do we understand the Trinity the same way we understand an equilateral triangle? By definition, you have to have three sides to have a triangle. If you have four sides, you have a square. If you only have two sides, then you just have an angle. The thing that's true about an equilateral triangle is all of them are interchangeable with one another. In math and geometry, you talk about the base side and then the right side and the left side. You can flip it over and you still have a base side, a right side, and a left side. We don't want to be, it's called being modalistic. Getting one part of the Godhead just to define that they don't have a unity as one. And they do have a unity as one. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all God. And yes, it's a little challenging to understand, yet I think we can understand it. The Holy Spirit wants to bring a living water to us. How does the Holy Spirit enliven us? I think first and foremost, the job of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of our own need for God. Our own need for God. Now, God knows that we need Him, but we're the ones that have to make that discovery that we really need God. Let's look at John 16. It gives us three important components. And when He comes, He will convict the world of its sin and of God and of God's righteousness and of the coming of judgment. So we have a conviction of sin. We have an awareness of God's righteousness and His holiness. And then we understand in terms of judgment that we have to decide. We must make a choice about whether we're going to continue on our own path, thinking we're a God, or that's a God over there, or perhaps this is a God. The realization that God is God and that we need God, and that at one point this will be judged, and I believe it's judged in the present, and it's judged quite obviously in the future. So now we get some explanation of these three ideas. The world sentence that it refused to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world, and I want you to notice the tense of the verb, the ruler of this world has already been judged. Wow. It really is the classic illustration of the fact that God is on one side and humanity is on the other side. Now, they have to be away from each other because the holiness of God cannot entertain the presence of sin. And yes, we're all sinners. We all fall short of God's glorious ideal, God's holy idea. Now, in our minds, we want to think that we're better than we really are, but the truth is, we know that. We know we're not perfect. We know that we're a sinner, that we don't always say what we should or do what we should. And so we realize that there's a gap between us and God. Now, the interesting thing to me is all the world religions, really for the most part, even some philosophies, identify that. Identify that in our humanness, we're separated from God. We're separated from the ideal of how God is described in that religion. People know that there is a present judgment about that. Many people do. Religions talk about present judgment as well as future judgment. And so we're separated from God, and God will judge us. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, we're everybody's on a path, and if we don't tell them about heaven, we're telling them to go to hell. Because there are only two eternal destinations, heaven and hell. And we're on a hellish path. No one needs to remind us of that right now. But in Jesus Christ, who bridges the gap between God and us, our one mediator, our one Lord and Savior, when we know him personally, now that slates us for eternity with God. Now, why only Jesus? That's the way God did it. Jesus made it clear, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. See, it was only Jesus that came to earth as a human being and divine at the same time. And he lived like us. He died a real human death. And then in God's power, he miraculously and supernaturally resurrected. And there are plenty of witnesses to that truth. And it would take an infinite God becoming finite and dwelling among us to bridge the gap. And then he goes back. It just makes sense, doesn't it? And so Jesus is the one that is the bridge between God and us. We can only get into God's presence and in relationship with God because God made the first move in Jesus Christ. And so we have to realize and admit that we're a sinner. We have to realize that God is holy and righteous, and we cannot demand a relationship with him. We can only receive the free gift of relationship with him because he first made the move. And whether we don't think we're going to be judged isn't what's important. God is saying that he will judge us. And he is judging us. And he is creating an alternative to that judgment. And so it is that opportunity which the Holy Spirit is leading us to. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. The war is actually over, but there's still a few more battles to fight before we get to eternity. But God is on our side. He is present with us in the power of the Holy Spirit. So first and foremost, the Holy Spirit wants to convict us of our sin and make sure that we know that God wants to be in relationship with us. He calls to us so that we can respond to him. The second thing the Holy Spirit wants to do is the Holy Spirit wants to show us how to know God, be in relationship with him, and that teaching is about God not only now but for all eternity. Here's what the Bible says. Let's look at John 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. All truth. Some of that truth is very simple and straightforward, and some of that truth is a little more complex and a little harder to understand. But I believe everyone can understand the basics. In fact, I mentioned I was a youth pastor. I used to gather middle school students around the Bible and give them something to study, and we'd work through that. And, you know, every time these junior high boys and girls knew what the Bible said. There are a few words they didn't get, but the general meaning of the impact of what God was saying in all of this truth, they understood. They understood. It's God's desire that all people would be in relationship with Him. That all people would spend eternity with Him. But even Jesus says, I will only be a ransom for many. Only a ransom for many. Only many will respond to that. All will not respond. And the Holy Spirit wants us to know this truth so that we can be personally connected to God and a part of what God is doing in the expansion and the enrichment of His kingdom. The third thing is the Holy Spirit wants to help us understand moving forward and knowing God more personally. John 14 again. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, when the Father will send Him in my name, He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. It's not up to us in our human understanding to understand everything about God. In fact, we'll never understand everything about God. He's infinite. But the Holy Spirit wants us to know that it's important to God, and it should be important to us to be in relationship with God. And then the Holy Spirit wants us to know that we're connected with God not only now, but we're connected with God for all eternity. He doesn't give us the gift of salvation and then take it away from us. It's a free gift that He gives us. And He wants us to know that, and He wants us to experience that. And for us to know all of the truth, it means we need to be learning. To enjoy and mine out all the things that God wants to say to you and have you experience, we got to be on the move. We have to be on, we have to make the decision that we want to know more about God and experience more about God. And the Holy Spirit's there not to just teach us some of it. He wants to teach us all things. And He will remind us, He will remind you of everything. And we've all had the Holy Spirit remind us, haven't we? Yeah, we have. Go this way, don't go that way. I said, don't go that way. Go this way. He is our advocate. He is our counselor. He is our guide. He is our help. And His primary job is to point to Jesus. Keep pointing us to Jesus. Keep pointing us to the truth about Jesus. And for that to be truly effective in our lives, then we have to engage in that spiritual process, that mind, heart, soul, and strength process. A final thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do for us is He wants us help us really move into our faith, to build our faith so that we can step into our faith in both church and in our daily living, in our relationship with Him and how we live out that faith each and every day. Romans 15, Paul says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to flip the two scriptures in your notes. I want to go to the idea that, first of all, God wants to fill us and fill us to overflowing, Ephesians 5:18. It says, be filled, and as you take in the language there, it's be filled and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what the Holy Spirit came to do. He came to fill you. The Holy Spirit is outside of us. He is prompting us to respond to God, to the reality that sin has separated us from Him. And in His calling, He calls us personally. We respond and receive the gift of salvation, that free gift of salvation only found in Jesus Christ. He's the only one I know that resurrected. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit enters us. As soon as we say, Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life, right? Paul says in Romans, anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, will be saved. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit fills us, and as we go about our everyday life, right, He fills us, we pour it out. He fills us, we pour it out over there and over there and over there. That's why we need to keep being filled by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's my challenge for you today. When was the last time you felt full to overflowing? Full to overflowing. Overflowing is a result of the Holy Spirit within us. And the Holy Spirit within us is the one that leads us to our faith and empowers us in our faith and in our living. Inside the church, outside the church. As close as across the street and as far as the other side of the world. In our being filled to overflowing, that often occurs when we're engaging in what God wants us to do. John 16:13, He will guide you into all truth. I don't know about you, but I definitely need a guide when I'm going someplace I've never been before. I love having Google Maps on my phone. I have saved more time with that single app. Why? Because I need a guide. I get lost. If you're on an adventure, you need a guide. You on any spiritual adventure? Any Christ-oriented conquest? See, when we're exploring new territory, and that's what the Holy Spirit calls for us to do, He leads us to faith so we can live out our faith. And I don't know about you, but when I'm on an adventure, man, I need a guide. I need some help. We all know this, not every adventure ends up being fun. When we're exploring new territories, yeah, it really helps to have a guide. The Holy Spirit has come so that we're aware of God. That we're assured that Christ has saved us and that He does have something for us to do on His team. That we're here because there's something we're to help with in terms of the expansion and the enrichment of God's kingdom. And when we get on that quest, or we get on that adventure, we're going to experience new territory for us. And when we get to that new territory, we all rely on the Holy Spirit, don't we? See, we need to get moving. And part of that is we need to get learning. And part of our learning is to pray to God and ask him, Lord, what is it that you would have me do? And I'll tell you this, when you're doing God's work, you will feel that living water bubble up inside of you, and you'll find that, wow, you're overflowing. You got enough for you and enough for the people around you. No, our life is backed by the promises of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, we like the overflowing feeling. You want to give us a sense of purpose and peace. You want to fill us with a joy that goes beyond the circumstances of our life and our world. And we know that you've come to lead us to all truth. Help us to desire that truth. And then in understanding that truth, we know that you're calling us to a deeper faith, a beyond faith of where we are right now. Lord, you know that when we're sitting back, we don't often feel like we're overflowing. But when we're on the move for you, when we're engaging in what it is that you're calling us to do, as we step along that path that you have for us, yeah, there are at least moments where we feel very full, filled to overflowing. And that you fill us each and every day. You prepare us and equip us for every good thing that you have in store for us. And we want to thank you for that. And we pray in your name. Amen.